Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Xasibe.
Good afternoon, Xasibomhle. How are you?
Siyaphila man Xasibe akho nto kunjani kona?
Nathi akho nto imbi nokuthi xosiphethe ngenxa.
Yes man, glad to speak to you. I hope you've been fine since the last time we spoke.
Yes, very well. Very well.
Lovely, lovely. Now, we are going to be talking about affirmative action, and I want to check if the policies are still necessary in SA. Now, in our country, South Africa, that is, there's a strong argument about whether or not affirmative action policies remain necessary, with ongoing debate about their effectiveness and implementation. In fact, we saw recently one of the opposition parties going to court to fight off, I think, with the Concord about the BEE, saying that it is unconstitutional. So let's perhaps, before we get into it, update those who are listening, because we've got listeners from across the continent. What is the main goal of affirmative action policies in South Africa?
All right. We have affirmative action arising from the notion that South Africa has had discrimination in 1652, and it was even postulated into legislation very hard when the National Party took over in 1948. Mm-hmm. And it went on right up until the elections of the Democratic South Africa in 1994. And that was about the fact that only white people were allowed to be employed in all positions because they were white. And all other people would not be employed as equals to other counterparts, even if they were qualified to occupy certain positions. And this affirmative action policy and legislation comes from the Constitution of 1996, mm-hmm. where the Constitution said we are all equal before the law. Mm-hmm. If we are all equal before the law, let us make legislation that enables those who are discriminated against and designated groups of people to be also promoted to a level that would be acceptable, mm-hmm. in order to achieve equality.
Yeah.
That's what affirmative action was about, particularly mm-hmm. employment.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you talk about the BEE being challenged in the Constitutional Court, there we are talking about black, broad-based, black employment, what is it called? Black Something Act,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, broad-based black economic empowerment.
Empowerment, that's correct. And that much more refers to the economic side that pertains to businesses with regard to, you know, those who tender for work, those who want to be employed in contractual terms, other than the fact that they are employees, but they are standalone contractors and business people. And therefore, someone would challenge and say, no, that legislation should no longer apply. But affirmative action itself, which is the topic for today, pertains to actual employment of people. We are all supposed and we ought to be regarded as equal before the law.
I think this is fair enough. Well, it sounds fair to me. But what have been the arguments then against affirmative action? Because, I mean, you've put to us what it is about. And I suppose that because there's a huge debate about it, to say that it's no longer relevant. Perhaps there are arguments that are against it, maybe even for affirmative action. Please take us through those.
Yeah. Section 9 says we are all equal before the law. Then that is the section in the Constitution. We are all equal before the law. But we know that we are not equal. So for you to have a constitution that says we are all equal before the law, it's useless.
Yeah.
Then the Constitution continues to say, legislation should be put in place in order to make sure that designated groups of people are also, affirmed. And I wonder whether people sometimes do want to go into the definition itself, what it means to affirm people. You see, I used to work for Sasol in Secunda.
Mm-hmm.
I found the place in 1992 to be using Afrikaans as the only medium of communication.
Mm.
In your simple, straightforward, normal communication in the company, it was Afrikaans. That tells you they regarded us as equal in that we would be able to, all of us, speak Afrikaans. That was wrong. Now, this is exactly how they changed policy at a later stage, and they said, if we write something in Afrikaans, we will again write it in English so that at least the people are able to read in a language that they would probably prefer. Let's go to employment.
Yeah.
Sasol itself and many other white companies were bent to employ only white people right at the executive level, at middle management level, even making sure that there at the lower level, white people were the only ones who were really in greater numbers than all other race groups put together. And here we're talking Africans, we're talking Indians, we're talking colored people. Even later on, Chinese people were included in that category of black. They were determined that you would only keep everything lily white. Now, the Constitution was saying, but that is wrong. Therefore, legislation needed to be put in place at a late, and I remember after 1996, some kind of new legislation came in place, was put in place, the Employment Equity Act, for instance. And that's the act that was being amended, I think, recently, and was being challenged by the DA in the Pretoria High Court.
Yeah, yeah.
It is designed to make sure that companies put a plan in place to promote other people as well. If anyone is to say that is not right, please tell me that that is not right. Because, let me tell you, in 1994, only then did we begin to say we are in government with a government of equality.
Right.
In 1996, the Constitution only then was promulgated 2 years later. At that stage, every department, every company was still white anyway. And that Employment Equity Act and other legislation started to come in place up until, in 2002, 2003, you could see that the implementation is beginning to happen. Now, if you were to take ourselves, just say up to the year 2000, up to just the year 2000, the year 2000 up to 2025, we're talking 25 years. That 25 years, who says in a policy that was there from 1948, even going backwards, very much far away to the 1900s, you would be able to unentangle South Africa from discrimination. So affirmative action is intended to redress the past. It was important then that it be done, if possible, fairly, first of all. But when you do it fairly, you are going to have to discriminate against those who were at all times enjoying preference before legislation was put in place, before implementation and operationalization came into being. We were caught in this 25 years where people were now, companies were supposed to put in place what we call employment equity plans and report to the minister the Minister of Labor. That they are now employing other groups of people at all levels of management, in companies, in government, and all over, the country. And this would have been a national legislation, but it was supposed to be applied by provinces themselves. It was supposed to be applied by local governments themselves. You were at all times, even the employers who used to employ, I think the threshold was 50 and over. They were supposed to make sure they report to government that they do have an employment equity plan. But if they do not have an employment equity plan, they must show in their employment policy that they now do employ other groups. We mean also, other than just, you know, we're quoting white people, black people, we also meant to promote women. We also meant to promote people with disabilities. Also meant to promote youth, young people. These groups of people were also supposed to be taken into account. If you ask me, have we done enough? Listen to other radio stations. You will see that it has not yet gone anywhere. We are still far from reaching what we would call equality. That's the reason why we today have the proposed Employment Equity Amendment Act, which the DA was challenging before court. Because what typically happens nowadays, those who hold the economy in their hands, and we typically know that it is white companies, they find loopholes at all times to circumvent the law. And when they do so, then those who are in government need to make sure that they close the gaps that are apparent in the legislation and in the behavioral manners of employing other groups of people. So affirmative action remains necessary. There are other organizations in this country which are able to say, in this sector or in this level of management, we have managed to affirm all groups and we have covered the ground and we are able to report in our plan to the minister that we have covered the ground. I must tell you, we know at this stage that white males are still leading in South Africa. They are generally the ones who hold high levels of representation at the top, at executive level. At middle management level, this is where at this stage we are still trying to catch up. At least there we are headed somewhere, but we are no near towards what we call equality. We are far from that, far. At the lowest levels, we are no near anything. Now, they've got to find mechanisms. One mechanism is shortlisting. So that when you shortlist, sometimes you would say, let us discriminate. We are looking to have black people of this caliber, these skills, these degrees, and they would be the only ones allowed in this shortlist. Or in promotion terms, you would say, if someone retires, let us promote from that designated group of Indians, Coloureds, and Africans and Chinese, so that they are able also to be at a demographic level of acceptable representation. So affirmative action, is it necessary? Yes, it is necessary. Are we there yet? No, we are not there yet as we speak. How far can we go? I think we still need another 50 years to go to a stage where we say we are equal in the employment space when it comes to affirmative action. That's what I've been reading. I've just been looking at case law in the industrial courts, the labor court in South Africa, all over South Africa. Nobody disagrees at the moment that we do need to promote all designated groups of people. And of course, then there's the resistance from those who have been there previously. And we will always then end in court. You will also find, Zama, that white people will take their would-be employers to court because they've been discriminated against, and therefore the court needs to apply what we call the principle of fair discrimination. And that principle of fair discrimination comes in because although you say you have a degree or a skill which is similar to everyone else, you are fairly discriminated, and you could not be shortlisted or you could not be employed. And this applies, let me tell you, nowadays it applies also to judges.
Oh.
The Judicial Services Commission does stop and say we will not employ and appoint a judge for certain positions because we did not find women to be represented in the judiciary. And they will just say we will not employ. Hence, we have a backlog. You and I would probably have in the past discussed that the Gauteng High Court runs behind in terms of case law, in that if you make an application for a date today, you will be given a 2031 date. It is because the JSC tends also to say we will not employ because we have not found designated persons who are judges. Not that Bangisi cannot become a judge. Not that some women who are very good cannot become judges. It's just that they have not been found, and they will be persuaded that they come in and they become judges. It's a similar situation in many other professions, in universities. It is there. It's an issue that is about to be with us for the longest time. That's what I can tell you.
Lovely. Well, our time is literally almost over, but I do want to quickly ask you this one. Fair discrimination. It does seem that the debate that is raging around, affirmative action and similar policies like BE, etc., are attacked as a result of those who were advantaged in the past, those who were the oppressors in the past, saying that it is now reverse oppression, reverse racism. Is that a true reflection?
No, that's not true. They must go to America. Trump is waiting for them. That's the first thing. But the second thing, let me tell you, there is enough jurisprudence in our labor court system,
right,
and even in our constitutional court, that tells us that we are able as a country to discriminate in a fair manner. It is not reverse discrimination.
Right.
And the courts have in the past, where they have found that there was arbitrariness, in which event this expression of reverse discrimination would apply, they would say there, in a specific instance, it was indeed unfair and would nullify that particular appointment. But I don't like it when white people peddle this fact that this is reverse discrimination when you are trying to promote other people who are still behind. That should not be allowed by all of us. Okay,
yeah.
Zama?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Advocate, I must thank you so much for your time. The producer is telling me that my time is almost completely finished. But I must thank you. I think this really, really, really calls for every one of us, hands on the deck, to say that those who were oppressed previously, those who were those who literally were segregated, etc., now also deserve a chance to come onto the table. Equal opportunities, and there is no such a thing as reverse racism or reverse oppression,
yes, sir,
or anything, yes, sir, of that sort. And I like that you put it succinctly, that the law allows it and the law allows for fair racism. And so anybody listening to us, from any country, I do know that the people listening to us from the UK, the people listening to us from the UAE and also across the continent and in the US even, but just to be very clear that nobody is unfairly discriminated against. Everything is above board and according to law, hey?
That's correct. Thank you very much, man. Yes.
Thank you so much. Speak to you then sometime in the future. Thanks.
God bless you. Sure.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.